Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Live journeys into mind, heart, and soul. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dossick, inviting you to come on the journey, join in the quest. Spirit Talk Live is our monthly forum for exploring the great questions of existence, for joining in the quest to find meaning and worth in life through intellectual inquiry and sacred spirit. It is a worldwide conversation for the spiritual seekers and rational empiricists, for people of all religions and of no religion, of all faiths and of no faith, because here on Spirit Talk Live, nothing is sacred and everything is sacred. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome to this month's edition of Spirit Talk Live. We're very glad that you're here, and we thank you for joining us. I'd like to remind you of my newest book, Radical Loving, One God, One World, One People, published by Monkfish Publishing House. It is a compelling appraisal of the state of our present-day world and a bold, visionary, spirit-filled blueprint for its transformation and evolution through radical loving and awesome holiness. It is a call to oneness, a promise that Earth can be Eden once again. If you'd like to know more about the book, please check out the website. RadicalLovingBook.com, RadicalLovingBook.com. It's available from fine booksellers and from Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com, so please check it out. It is a book that it is, with all due humility, so needed these days, because our world is in such dire straits. And without the bragging too much, although I like to brag a little bit about it, this book has won 2 International Book Awards, first place for spirituality and first place for religion. So please take a look at it. Radical Loving, One God, One World, One People. Today my guest is an old friend, so that's... letting you know from the beginning, as we always do when somebody, my guest is a friend, so full disclosure. Nina Amir is an author, a blogger, a podcast host, a transformational coach, and she discusses today with us her many self-help books for writers, and we'll talk about a few of them as we go along. And to guide writers in their works and careers and readers in their readings. So from her home and offices in New Mexico outside of Albuquerque, it is a great pleasure to welcome to Spirit Talk Live, Nina Amir. Nina, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. I am honored and excited to be here, Rabbi Wayne.
So you are we met first in a workshop that I was teaching about what was to become the book 20 Minute Kabbalah. And Ellen was supposed to be there teaching with us, but she was ill that week, so I did that all by myself. And you you and others were very kind to me, because usually that workshop was done with 2 people teaching back and forth, and I had to do it all myself. So I remember that all these years later, and I appreciate the kindness, so thank you.
Yeah, I remember that. I still have your book in a binder.
that was the original attempt at the book. Changed a great deal in its present form. But yes, that was the sort of the beta workshop for 20 Minute Kabbalah. So, Nina, you are a writer, but you are, as far as I can tell, a writer helping other writers. So, for example, your books, and I'll just name a few of them right now, because you have a gazillion books, actually, and people who want to see your books can look at them on Amazon. But here are just a few. Creative Visualization for Writers, an interactive guide for bringing your book ideas and your writing career to life. The Author's Training Manual, a comprehensive guide to writing books that sell. And How to Blog a Book, Write, Publish, and Promote Your Work One Post at a Time. So it looks like you are a fine, fine writer whose goal in life has been to help other writers write their books. That's quite a unique little niche there for you.
Yeah, that was what I have done for a long time. To be honest, I set out to write books, maybe not exactly in line with your books, but books, books on personal growth that came out of Judaism. Later, I realized that they would not be so-called Jewish books, but they would be books that took Jewish concepts and made them available to everyone. But I was actually directed by my literary agent at the time, who took me on for one of these books. She said, let's get you published first in an area that you have an expertise, which was writing. That was, you know, I have a degree in magazine journalism, and I had edited books and magazines and written lots of things. And so that was how the other three books that you mentioned came about. And I was already helping writers. I was editing books, as I said, and I was, I had a blog for writers and a blog on blogging, blogging your book. And so I was already in that niche, and it became very, well, you know, very easy, but it was easier to get published in that way, to help other writers get their books published. And so that became my area of expertise for many, many years, and it's only now that I'm trying to get back to the more general kind of self-help books. But I'm still helping writers. I still have one book in the works. I'm hoping to hear that it will be published, and that is still in the realm of helping writers get published.
Well, I love some of your suggestions. Early in the book, The Author's Training Manual, you write, change your status from aspiring to successful published author, and you write, woot, woot, W-O-O-T. People often go, woot. Willingness, optimism, objectivity, and tenacity. What does that mean? Woot.
So, just what you said, willingness, optimism, objectivity, and tenacity. So, that to me is an author attitude. And you need an author attitude, because the problem that I find with most writers who are aspiring authors is that they're happy to write the book. But after that, they kind of fall down in terms of mindset. And I'm all about mindset and habits and all of that. I'm also a certified high-performance coach, and so I'm very interested in how we get beyond our mental blocks, right? And so, you know, WOOT was an acronym that just came to me because, yeah, you have to first of all have willingness. You have to be willing to do everything. There was a point at which, you know, I almost gave up on my own dreams of being published because I didn't have the willingness to, for instance, get on social media and build an audience for my books. And so, you know, everybody kept saying, you have to do it, you have to do it. And I was like, I don't want to do it. And I've been doing it, you know, I've been trying to do it for 4 years and I'm still not there. And so it's things like that, marketing your books. I mean, you know this, we have to market our books and we have to have an audience for the books and all of that. And if you're not willing to do that, then you're going to struggle. And optimism falls in line with that. You have to be, if you're a pessimist and you keep thinking this is never going to work and it's too hard and all those negative thoughts, you're going to struggle to get your work out into the world, to do anything, actually, but not just the writing. And then objectivity, you have to be objective as an as a writer and an author, because you're going to have editors look at your work, right? And you have to take their feedback. Not only that, once your book is published, you're going to have people reviewing it. And, you know, so you have to be able to step back and see your work from a place that isn't as personal, which I learned by being a journalist, that, you know, that I would write something and it would go to the editor, and I just had to accept the edits and see how they were improving my work. And then tenacity is a simple one, because it's not so easy to get published. You have to be willing to, you know, submit to, if you're going to traditionally publish, to submit to agents, and you might get rejections. And if you take the first rejection and say, oh, I'm done, and walk away, then you're never going to get published, right? The same if you're self-publishing. If you come across the first obstacle in your self-publishing journey and you just quit, then you're not going to get there. So you have to be tenacious. So that's where Woot comes from.
It's so interesting because, just yesterday, the day before, I was with someone who said, boy, you've written 10 books. That's great. Do you have another book in you? And I said, well, truth be told, I've written 15 books, but 5 of them are sitting on my desk totally unpublished because they've been rejected. So even a so-called successful author, and, you know, thank God I've been pretty successful and published by major publishing houses, I have 5 books that have been totally rejected and are just sitting here in manuscript form and probably will never get published. I love them, but obviously other people didn't. So that's a very true statement. You have to have that tenacity to get that. And then be objective. Okay, I liked it, but somebody else didn't, so what's wrong with it? As we were talking before, you said a writer who's an aspiring author. Now, people would sometimes think that those two words are the same, but you sort of made a distinction. Is there a distinction between a writer and an author?
For sure. So a writer is someone who writes. An author is someone who publishes. So an aspiring author is a writer who wants to publish their books, right? If you're an author, you're actually published. But there's lots of ways to become published. For instance, a blogger publishes their work every day, however often they publish their blog posts, right? So they're also authors. But when we're talking about books, yeah, you're either an aspiring author or a published author. And you could be, you know, if you're... In both those cases, you're a writer.
Very interesting. So so a writer just writes and the stuff stays in his or her computer or on his or her yellow pad and never goes further than that?
That's my interpretation.
Uh-huh. Very interesting.
And I think what's interesting is that a lot of people will say that writers write because they have to, right? They must. Like, I'm a writer because I have to write. And to some extent, I think that's true. But I think, for the most part, writers write because they want to be read. They want to have an impact. They write something because they want it to impact somebody else.
I would respond in 2 ways. I was once interviewed, and the interviewer said to me, why do you write? And I know it was a smart-ass answer, but I turned to her and said, why do you breathe? Because I write to write. And on the other hand, there are, in so many times, if I've written it, I don't need, you know, I write not only books, but I write sermons, and I write bulletin articles, and I write journal articles, and all kinds of things. And sometimes when I write, that's all that I need. It doesn't need to be published or spoken because it was satisfying enough that I got the words on paper. Have you ever felt that?
Yes. And I think that's those of us who identify as writers, we write because that's who we are. We're writers. And so, yeah, we do it, and sometimes we put the words on paper, and that's enough for us. But I do think that there's another level to that. And, you know, all the books you've written and the journal articles and all of that are a testament to wanting to have an impact with your words. I always say I want to have a positive and meaningful impact with my words.
Mm. Very nice. Very nice. Now, you talked earlier about all the things that you need to do besides writing the book, promotion, social media, marketing, all those kinds of things. But sometimes authors don't have to do those things because we can hire other people who are expert in those fields to do those things. I know nothing, nothing about social media. And when I wrote the last book, Radical Loving, I hired somebody who is a social media expert. That's what her company is about. And she put up the stuff that I would have no clue how to do. So you can create a team, right?
You can. You can. What I find is that most writers don't feel they have the means, the financial means to hire. And so they're put off by the fact that they have to learn how to do it themselves. But yes, you can hire a social media expert, you can hire a publicist, you can hire somebody to get you speaking gigs, you can hire all of that out. When you're writing nonfiction, so we should probably be clear, if you're writing fiction, it's a little different. We're talking primarily about nonfiction, which is what we both write. And in the area of nonfiction, publishers want you to have what they call a platform, which is your audience, your built-in audience that you've created on social media or with email marketing or anything, your radio show, anything like that. And even if you self-publish, you need this built-in audience because when you go to sell your book, to market your book, you know, just like you did at the beginning of the show, somebody has to be listening. Otherwise, you're marketing
to
nobody.
We certainly hope people are listening to this program today. Hi, everybody.
That's right. Hello. So the issue is that it's not just, oh, I have to market my book. It's an ongoing process. And so you can definitely hire a team to help you do the things necessary to create an audience and to get your work out into the world and, you know, all of that. I mean, like, I'm an avid blogger. I blog every week, and I have a YouTube video every week. Do I need to know how to publish the blog post or edit the video? No, I could hire someone. I do know how to do it, but
well,
I could hire someone
I'll
for sure.
I'll hire you then. That's great. So interesting, because you have a book called How to Blog a Book. So you are not only a writer-author, but you are a blogger as well. I don't know much about blogging. Talk to us about that, please.
So I love blogging, and blogging is a long-term marketing strategy because since we're talking about writers, you know, and authors, as an author you want to have a website. We call it an author website. And if you just put up a website and, you know, that pitches your books and whatever, if you just put that up on the internet, it's like a brochure in cyberspace. It just goes up and nothing changes unless you have a new book you put up on it. But with a blog, what a blog is people used to think of it as like online journals, but you don't really want to just be typing random thoughts. What you want is to be publishing on a blog articles, let's call them. I mean, they're blog posts. But they're like articles, and if they're related to your books or your topic of expertise, your area of expertise, then what happens is the more often you publish these blog posts, the more often search engines like Google, now we're getting a little technical, but they come along with their little bots and spiders, and they index your content looking for keywords. And that then drives you up in the search engine results pages so that when you so when somebody decides to look for something on Radical Loving, you and your book are going to come up because your website has all these words related to Radical Loving. So all that to say that when you write a blog post, if you're writing about the topics of your books or the topic of your expertise, you're going to organically, just naturally, develop a website that's easy to find for those terms that relate to your books and to your expertise. So to me, a blog is a wonderful place to express yourself, to talk about the things that are important to you, but if you can align it with your books or your area of expertise, you're going to be more easily found by people who want to buy your books, right? And so for me, I have several blogs. I have the one about how to blog a book. I have one called Write Nonfiction Now, which is just for nonfiction writers. And then I have the one on my main site, ninaamir.com. It's called As the Spirit Moves Me. And I write there every week about something of importance to me. But it's always related to, in that case, related to my transformational coaching or the high-performance coaching or some personal and spiritual growth, I would say, because that's what that blog is about, and it's meant to support the books that I'm going to be writing on those topics.
Well,
if you go to How to Blog a Book, it's going to be about blogging.
Aspiring authors, you are getting a tremendous, tremendous free education today from Nina Amir about how to write a book, how to blog a book, and I still have some questions about blogging, so we'll get to them when we come back after these messages. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dussek. I'm here with Nina Amir, a writer, a blogger, a writing coach, a professional high-performance coach. She's got it all, and she's sharing it with us today. This is Spirit Talk Live. We'll be back after these messages, as always, inviting you to come on the journey. Join in the quest.
Sacred literature and the Bible, God is known by many names. However, which name for God embodies the spiritual wholeness and essence of God? Discover The Real Name of God is a new book by Rabbi Wayne Dossick. He explores and finds the real name of God. Why is that important? Because the name of God unites all religions and is embedded within us. Get The Real Name of God at your favorite bookstore or online at Amazon.com. The ideas in this book can be world-changing. The Real Name of God by Rabbi Wayne Dossick. Save the Animals Today offers a respectable retirement and end-of-life experience for all the horses that have been abandoned as they age. Not a day goes by that people don't call Save the Animals Today looking for a place for their horses. Patty and the folks at Save the Animals Today do their best to bring as many horses as they possibly can to beautiful Dudette Ranch to love them and care for them. Dudette Ranch is a special place. Horses and other farm animals enjoy the peaceful sanctuary of the lovely hills north of San Diego. Volunteers of all ages come to interact with and take care of these wonderful creatures. Older folks who had horses when they were growing up and now have some free time especially enjoy helping around the barn with animals who want the extra attention. Save the Animals Today would like to provide shelter for every farm animal who needs rescue. Right now, there's a waiting list. Dudette Ranch needs your help. The horses need your help. You can help these magnificent animals by making a tax-deductible donation to Save the Animals Today. $25 will make a difference, and $25 a month will mean another older horse will enjoy its older years, loved and cared for. If you want to help even more, visit the website at www.savetheanimalstoday.org.
Music, information, and friends. HealthyLife.net.
This is Spirit Talk Live. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dossick, inviting you back to come on the journey and join in the quest with today our guest, Nina Amir, a writer, a author, a blogger, a podcaster, a transformational coach, and she's teaching us today for aspiring writers and aspiring authors how to write a book, how to get a book published, how to publicize a book. If you're an aspiring author in any way, this is a magnificently free education today. So, Nina, welcome back. And we were talking about the blogs that you write and then teach others how to do it. And I still would like to know, how do you get an audience? Is it like that you have your own list and send out a constant contact and people know that it's there, or it just goes out and you hope to attract an audience? How do you get an audience for your blog?
Great question. So, I always like to say that blogging is not one of those things where you put a blog up on your website and you start blogging and publishing your posts and, you know, you build it and they will come. Doesn't work that way. So, as I was saying, when you blog, you, if you're on topic, you are eventually going to build up some credibility on Google and be easily found for keywords. But that's very technical. More than that, what I would say, or maybe not more than that, but what I would say to answer your question is, when you write a blog post and you publish it on your site, your next order of business is to share it. You can share it via your email list, but more than that, I would be sharing it on social media. And all you need really is the link to the blog post, the URL, and a little bit of content that says what the blog post is about. Anyone who goes to my feed, you can find me on by searching Nina Amir or Inspiration to Creation Coach. Go to any one of my, you know, social media feeds and you'll see my blog posts are coming up in the feed because I'm sharing the link. And when what happens with that is then, you know, they read the little bit and they click on the link to read more and it takes them to your website. And if then on your website you have a way for them to subscribe to your email list to get those blog posts in their email box, that's how you're building an audience.
Wow. Sounds utterly complicated to me. I'm a guy who still loves a yellow pad and a pencil, and this new technology is so far beyond me, but you explain it very well. I don't think I'd be able to do it, but it's very, very fascinating.
It's really not very hard, and there are a few pieces to it, like, you know, how do you get them to subscribe? But the basic idea is you write a blog post about something that's on topic for you, related to your books or related to your expertise. You publish it on your blog, and then you share that. And usually it's the link. You share it, and you get people to start following you.
Fascinating. Well, you have another book called Creative Visualization for Writers, an interactive guide for bringing your book ideas and your writing career to life. And the foreword is by Dinty W. Moore. The only Dinty Moore I know is somebody who has food in a can. Is that the same Dinty Moore?
No, it is not. It is not him or her. No,
so,
Dinty is actually a quite well-known memoirist, I believe it is, and teacher. But yeah, this is my favorite book for writers
that
I wrote.
Talk to us about it. Tell us about it. It's really very interesting. I'm looking at the book right now, and it's got all kinds of questions and all kinds of lines to fill in. So really, I mean, in many ways, it looks like the worksheets we had in second and third grade, but this is worksheets for big boys and girls. So tell us about Creative Visualization for Writers.
So this book was born out of the trend, the adult coloring book trend. And I saw that there were all these books being done and that there were only a couple that were self-published for authors, but my theory was that writers and authors don't have time to sit around coloring. Like, they're much too goal-directed, and they're already struggling to find time to write. So what I wanted to do was create a book that had that element of coloring, but that was moving towards a goal, the goal of writing and publishing your work. And I was very lucky. My publisher at the time was, I had a great relationship with him, and I ran into him at the Book Expo America, and I said, have you thought about a coloring book for writers? And he said, I was just researching that this morning. So we sat down, and we talked about it, and he pulled over one of his marketing guys, and he was on board, and he immediately said Creative Visualization for Writers, and I said, no, that's not the title, because I don't know if you're familiar with Shakti Gawain, but her book, Creative Visualization, was one of the first really big New Age books. And I thought, no, I can't have it be called that, but that's what they wanted to call it. Anyway, the book has everything from coloring pages to affirmations to it has everything you need to learn and to kind of go through the process of writing and publishing your book, but it also has some of my more spiritual concepts in it. I mean, it talks about, well, it's not my concept, but it talks about inner child, and I have a Kabbalistic conscious creation method that I don't say that's what they're doing, but it's in there. So I was able to take a lot of the more spiritual and personal growth-related topics that I'm passionate about and weave them into this book. And so I just love it.
Well, I have to tell you that don't feel bad about the title. I've written 10 books. Two of them were published with the title that I handed in, that I called the book through all its production. And then, of course, the publisher changed the title. So 8 of my 10 books are different titles given by the publisher.
Yeah, that's pretty common. How to Blog a Book was my title. That was my title. So was the author training manual, but I wish somebody had changed that one in retrospect.
That's a great title. I like that. People who are interested in writing books and looking for mainstream publishers know that once a publisher accepts your book, it belongs to the publisher. And sometimes you can have a little input on editorial content. Sometimes you can have a little input on title or cover. But the publisher knows better than you do, and therefore does whatever it chooses. And you go along with it because you signed the contract. That's why so many people are self-publishing these days, because you don't have to go through the whole vetting process, and at the same time, you have total control over what your book looks like, what it's called, how it's formatted, and it's a whole new world out there in terms of publishing.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Sure, please.
So the thing is, you're right, you lose a lot of control with traditional publishing, but what you gain... Well, number one, you gain distribution into bookstores.
Right.
Which you don't get with self-publishing. Number two, and to me this is actually the bigger thing, is you get a team of experts. So when you say, you know, they're going to do what they want to do, well, it's because they're the experts. Right? So you've you've contracted with them because you know they know how to do their job. The issue with self-publishing is that some people don't approach their self-published books as if they were traditionally published. So if you self-publish, you still need a professional team. You need several different editors and proofreaders and designers and all of that. And you might even need some, you know, an expert to help write the copy that goes up on Amazon or wherever, right? And so it's important to treat your self-published book in the same manner as if it were traditionally published.
And there we have it. So we're with Nina Amir. This is Spirit Talk Live. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dossick. We're talking about how to become a writer, how to become an author. And she's the expert. She knows, and her books out there tell you exactly step by step how to do this. And at the same time, she has written other books of content that where she is the author, and we'll talk about some of those when we come back. This is Spirit Talk Live. I am Rabbi Wayne Dossick with Nina Amir, author, blogger, very, very fine writer, and podcaster. We'll be back with her after these words. As always, inviting you to come on the journey. Join in the quest.
In sacred literature and the Bible, God is known by many names. However, which name for God embodies the spiritual wholeness and essence of God? Discover The Real Name of God is a new book by Rabbi Wayne Dossick. He explores and finds the real name of God. Why is that important? Because the name of God unites all religions and is embedded within us. Get The Real Name of God at your favorite bookstore or online at Amazon.com. The ideas in this book can be world-changing. The Real Name of God by Rabbi Wayne Dossick.
In 1972, Sur La Table opened in Seattle, selling hard-to-find kitchen items, and now they have 55 stores nationwide, offering kitchen tools from around the world to prepare any cuisine. Sur La Table has a full range of houseware and kitchen products, even books and food. Visit a Sur La Table store, or better yet, for faster service, go to thehealthylife.net's advertiser page and click on Sur La Table. With the best products, gift cards, and sale items, you can be on your way to being a first-class cook right now.
Do you wonder what is happening in our world? Do you wonder what the forces of the universe are doing to us? Is your life affected by the ebb and flow of events over which you seem to have little control? The answers to these questions and more can be found in the internet publication Cosmic Times, Spiritual News You Can Use, a bi-monthly channel transmission from Ellen Kaufman Dossick. Since 1994, the Cosmic Times has offered detailed information about what is happening energetically in our cosmos and how we can best support the emerging consciousness within ourselves and our world. Many people feel like the Cosmic Times keeps them sane in a seemingly crazy world, lifts their vibrations, and supports their continuing growth and expansion. You can subscribe to the Cosmic Times by going to the website www.soulmemorydiscovery.com. Join the thousands who benefit from the wisdom and insights in the Cosmic Times and receive spiritual news you can use. www.soulmemorydiscovery.com.
Information, entertainment, worldwide. HealthyLife.net.
Hello, welcome back. This is Spirit Talk Live. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dussick. I'm here with Nina Amir, who is an author, a blogger, a podcaster, a transformational coach. And we've been talking about all her books, which teach people how to become writers and how to become authors. She also has some books herself where she is the writer-author and teaches us other things. So, for example, one of her books is called 10 Days and 10 Ways to Return to Your Best Self. One is called The Kabbalah of Conscious Creation, How to Mystically Manifest Your Physical and Spiritual Desires. And one is called The Priestess Practice Workbook. And another is called Navigating the Narrow Bridge, 7 Steps for Moving Forward Courageously, Even When Life Seems Most Precarious. Wow. What a set of titles, and what a set of subjects to explore. So I want to talk first about this Priestess Practice Workbook, because as I was perusing it, I have a house full of women right now. Ellen is having some sort of conference or something, I don't know, and there are a whole bunch of women here, and as I was perusing this book, everybody was looking over my shoulder because these are women who are interested in the notion of the Priestess Practice Workshop. Nina Amir, what's this book about?
So that book is about creating sacred space, basically. And I'll just give you a little background. So I started writing a book about Shabbat, about the Jewish Sabbath. And I showed it to someone you will know, Arthur Wasko. And he said, this is all about Friday. It has nothing to do with Saturday. And so I looked at it, I thought, this is true. And the reason is because the women create the sacred space for the Sabbath. And they're serving as the priests in the temple in Jerusalem created the sacred space, they're doing that. They're doing the same job. And so the idea is that women create a space within which they can invite the divine presence. And that's what the book really is about.
And how do women do that? And why women and not men?
It can be men. And I've had men show up at the Kala, the Aleph Kala. I've had a few men in workshops for this. And, of course, it used to be the men in the temple. But traditionally, these days, it's the women who do the preparation
they clean the house, and this is going to sound kind of sexist, but you know, they would clean the house, they would cook the dinner, and they did it all with very high intention that their food was you know, it was a holy process. They put out the candles, you know, all of these things that the priests used to do. And so it's that setting the stage for the Sabbath, where you know, in the Jewish tradition, you light the candles and you invite in the Shekhinah, the female divine presence who can be with you during the Sabbath. And so a man can definitely do it, and in a lot of households, the men will light the candles. But it's, you know, traditionally been the women who do all the preparation. And so to me, that's the priestess practice, is to create the sacred space and then send the invitation to the divine to join in at the table and to be there through the whole Sabbath. But the Sabbath could be Sunday. It could be Friday. It could be Wednesday. You could choose the day in which you decide to create sacred space and invite the divine into it with you.
So our good friend Rabbi Dr. Jill Hammer had for many, many years just sunsetted it just recently, the Kohenet Institute, where she trained women to be modern-day priestesses, not rabbis, not spiritual directors, but a Kohenet is a priestess. What was that about, and what do we learn from that in terms of the role of women in modern times?
So I don't know that much about Jill's program. However, I was very impressed when one day she purchased a copy of my book. And I reached out to her, and I said, do you think you could maybe one day when it's... So I have to say that the books, except for 10 Days and 10 Ways, the books you're referring to are all short versions of longer books I want to write. So I'll just put that out there. They will one day be a longer version. But so I asked Jill, would you one day write the foreword to this book on the priestess practice? So I don't know as much about her program, but I just believe that probably more than we are aware of, that women had a very powerful and important role in spiritual practice. And it's time to take that back.
So you seem to be, your own writings seem to be very spiritually oriented. This book, The Kabbalah of Conscious Creation, How to Mystically Manifest Your Physical and Spiritual Desires. And it's quite a lengthy book. For a short book, it's quite a lengthy book. What's the motivation behind this book? What's its message to us?
Okay, so this book also will one day be a longer book. I'm going to give you a little history on this, and then I'll give you the message. So I was raised Jewish, but mostly, let's just say I was raised Jewish, but it wasn't a big deal in my family. And so when I was in my late 20s, early 30s, I did all the New Age movement stuff, and I was, you know, learned all the things about angels and reincarnation and law of attraction and all of that. And then when my husband, who was not Jewish, but we decided to raise our children Jewish, he had the need to learn more, and I actually hadn't learned as much as I would have liked. But for me to begin, for instance, lighting candles every Friday night and going to services and all of that, it had to have meaning for me. And so I went searching within Judaism for the things we already believed, like angels, reincarnation, law of attraction, all of that. And the Kabbalah of Conscious Creation was born out of that study, that searching. I discovered what I believed was law of attraction, or conscious, deliberate, intentional creation, that process within the Jewish mystical tradition. And I actually went to Rabbi David Cooper, blessed memory, and I asked him to verify what I had found, and he did. And I went to a young Kabbalist in Sfat, Israel, and I asked him, and he verified what I had discovered, and that's where this book was born, was out of this need I had to find these things, these concepts within Judaism. And so the Kabbalah of Conscious Creation takes the Jewish mystical creation story of Tzimtzum, which is that God was everywhere and everything. It wasn't even called God, we just called it Ein Sof, without end. And so there was, you know, this energy of the divine everywhere and in everything, and then the divine had the urge to create something new besides itself, and it had to contract and create a void within itself, a space for something else to exist, and it then put its energy into this void, and it went through stages. So we call them the four worlds, but they were stages. And so first there was, before even the stages, there was primordial man, which I see as our soul and our soul purpose, sort of our blueprint. And then we go through these stages that are very similar to what we would call the law of attraction or conscious or deliberate creation. And that's, first there's this sense of desire to birth something, and that's in this world of, or this stage of being, we suddenly have a desire to create something that is aligned with our soul purpose, and then we conceptualize that with thought, and then we combine that with the feeling of already having it, and then we have a moment where we know what inspired action we need to take, and at that point we go into the last stage, which is action. We live in a physical world, so we need to take physical action. And that is the concept of the Kabbalah of Conscious Creation, that we create in the same way the divine created.
Wow. We are dealing with a very learned and wise person, Nina Amir. Not only is she an expert in writing and authorship, but she is obviously a deeply spiritual person, talking to us about the role of women in spiritual life and our own roles in spiritual life. We'll be back with Nina after these messages for our final segment. This is Spirit Talk Live. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dossick. Come on the journey. Join in the quest.
In sacred literature and the Bible, God is known by many names. However, which name for God embodies the spiritual wholeness and essence of God? Discover The Real Name of God is a new book by Rabbi Wayne Dossick. He explores and finds the real name of God. Why is that important? Because the name of God unites all religions and is embedded within us. Get The Real Name of God at your favorite bookstore or online at Amazon.com. The ideas in this book can be world-changing. The Real Name of God by Rabbi Wayne Dossick.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic inexpensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to Bach. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Rabbi Dr. Wayne Dossick is the award-winning author of 8 best-selling books. Living Judaism, The Complete Guide to Jewish Belief, Tradition, and Practice is now a classic, used in synagogues, churches, seminaries, and universities throughout the country as the basic introduction to Judaism text, and in homes as the perfect one-volume reference to Jewish faith and observance. 20-Minute Kabbalah, co-written with his wife Ellen Kaufman Dossick, uses Tree of Life mysticism to offer a daily personal spiritual practice that brings you to God, your soul knowing, and your heart's desires. The accompanying audio CD, angelically sung by cantor Kathy Robbins, guides you through all the sweet and holy chants. These and other fine books by Rabbi Dossick, including When Life Hurts and Soul Judaism, are available at Amazon.com. For more information about Indigo Children, visit the website www.soulbysoul.com. And for more information about Kabbalah, visit the website www.20minutekabbalah.com. Let Wayne Dossick's books expand your knowledge and enrich your life.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back. It's Spirit Talk Live. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dossick. I'm here with Nina Amir, author, blogger, podcaster. We didn't even talk about your podcast yet. Nina, what's about your podcast?
It's actually a radio show. I mean, it does show up as a podcast, like on iTunes and all those places. It's on a station called News for the Soul. And it's the show itself is called Inspiration to Creation. And it's about everything personal and spiritual growth.
Oh, interesting. And how often is that?
Twice a month.
Twice a month. Great. So another book of yours is called Navigating the Narrow Bridge, Seven Steps for Moving Forward Courageously, Even When Life Seems Most Precarious. I would say that this is a topic that is right up for everybody these days, because life is tough, and life is scary, and life is a bunch of unknowns. So how do we navigate the narrow bridge? And I'm assuming that the narrow bridge is taken, your title, taken from the teaching of the Rebbe, who says, all the world is, all the world is a narrow bridge, but the main thing is not to be afraid.
Yes, Rebbe Nachman. And so the thing is that, so it did come from that. This book was born during, the idea for it was born right after 9/11. So that was a long time ago. And I just started thinking about that particular, those words, you know, all the world is just a narrow bridge, and the main thing is not to be afraid. But then I discovered that if you go back to the original Hebrew, it's not, the main thing is not to be afraid, it's the main thing is not to make yourself afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Which made me think about the fact that,
right.
Yeah, that we're making ourselves.
Right.
Like, this is, fear is never, okay, so if you have a mountain lion chasing you, that's true fear. Fear that your life is in danger. But more often than not, we're afraid of something in the future that we think might happen. Maybe it's based on something that happened in the past, but it's all in our head. We're just making ourselves afraid. And we go through life most of the time not realizing the things that maybe we should be afraid of. So everything is energy, right? So if you're sitting on a chair, it's not actually solid. It's just molecules vibrating in space. So we don't ever go to sit on the chair and become afraid that it won't hold our weight, right? We just sit down. And that's what life is like. It's a narrow bridge, and we're walking on it. I always think of it as like one of those bridges hanging over a ravine, right? Those rope bridges. But we're walking on it, and we don't think twice about it. Unless somebody says, you know, you're walking on a rope bridge, and there's a big ravine down below, and suddenly our brain goes crazy and says, this is not safe. So that's what that book's about. How do we navigate life, which is often more precarious than we even realize, without making ourselves afraid.
And how do we do that?
There are many ways. One is to be in the present moment, because you're always safe in the present moment. And if you stop and think about it, right now, you're okay. Next second, you're okay, right? And so if you stay in the present, you're going to be less afraid. We also need to not bring our past experiences into the present and project them on the future, because that's usually what makes us afraid, is we think something's going to happen in the future. So we don't want to do that. We can meditate. We can, what else? You're catching me on the spot here. I can't think of all the seven tips, Wayne.
It's quite all right. We are dealing today, my dear friends, with a very wise and learned woman, Nina Amir, who has a plethora of things to teach us across a wide swath of human endeavor and human knowledge. She teaches us how to be a writer and an author. She teaches us about the sacred and about the nitty-gritty of life. Nina, it's been a great, great pleasure having you on the program today. We thank you so much for your work and for being with us today. And we wish you the very, very best. And just tell us about what will be the next project.
Project, I actually have a book coming that I'm working on called Craft Your Sacred Story. And I'm working on getting Narrow Bridge out there and a book on authoring change. I'm very focused right now on getting all the books out. And then, I always have coaching programs.
The Master Storyteller will tell you how to tell stories. And just tell us, if we want to look at you as a coach, where do we find you?
Everything can be found at that's my email address, ninaamir.com.
ninaamir.com. Nina Amir, thank you so very much. And we thank Doc Collins, our extraordinary musician who plays our theme song each and every week, and the good folks at HealthyLife.net, Linda McKenzie, the visionary founder, and Jay Cruz, our incredible producer, who have had invited us at Spirit Talk Live to be part of the Healthy Life family for 15 years now. We've had a wonderful time each and every week and each and every month and each and every year. So thanks to all of them. Next month, we continue on the theme about books. Our good friend John Sweeney, who has been on this program a number of times, has a brand new book called My Life in 17 Books. So he returns to Spirit Talk Live to discuss his newest book, My Life in 17 Books, A Literary Memory, centering around the books that have meant the most to him throughout his life and what it means to carry and be carried by a book. This will be a feast of memory and inspiration for book lovers everywhere. So until then, dear friends, be good and do good. Be sweet and be holy. Turn your awareness to oneness consciousness, for in oneness consciousness you are sourced to strive for the recognition and the reality of one God, one world, one people, the power and the promise of Eden on earth once again. That is why we invite you this month and every month to come on the journey, join in the quest. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dossick. This is Spirit Talk Live. Until next month, Shalom, Salam, Pax, Peace.